welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can get a hold of Golf News Net on all kinds of different forms of social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, the handle Golf News Net. Download our apps from the Apple and Google Play stores. And you can find all of our work on golfnewsnet.com as well on Yahoo Sports' Double Wall Golf Blog or on sports.yahoo.com. We are presented by BetDSI. And we use BetDSI's odds every week for our PGA Tour, European Tour, and sometimes LPGA Tour odds posts. They give you a great reflection of what's happening in the market and a good idea of how the money's moving and how that reflects the odds and where the money is going. So it's good for you whether you're a fantasy player in an environment where you can't bet legally on golf, or obviously if you can, then it's a great place to put your money. So check out BetDSI.com. All right, on this week's show, we're kind of at the point in the year where you get golf every week, and I know you get golf every week. We get golf like 50 weeks out of the year. And you're kind of at the point of like week 40, week 45, where you're like, ugh, more golf. And I mean this as someone who covers golf year-round. And I was saying this to somebody earlier on a call before we started recording this, that I kind of get it disinterested in golf as a professional golf, not playing golf. I still play golf three times this week, and I had an absolute blast doing it. I'm talking about professional golf. And I'm at the point in the year where it's like, do we really need another tournament this week? Do we really? Do we need another World Golf Championships event in China? And I understand this event has really little anything to do with North American viewers. It has everything to do with Asia. It's a big tournament there. Even if there aren't a ton of people in attendance, it is a big deal there to have a golf tournament of that stature with those kinds of players in a country with 1.5 billion people, 1.7, whatever the number is nowadays. I understand that. I also understand that it's nice for guys to have opportunities to play on the PGA Tour while that tournament is going on in Jackson, Mississippi at a well-run tournament and a tournament that a lot of guys like, the Sanderson Farms Championship. I understand that as well. I understand it's the job of the PGA Tour commissioner, whether it's Tim Finchem or Jay Monahan, whenever Monahan steps into that role, it is their job to represent the interests of the PGA Tour, and more importantly, its players. And that means giving them playing opportunities, and they're creating more of them. There is a third Asian Swing event next year in South Korea with a 78-player field, 60 of them coming from the FedEx Cup points list for a $9.25 million purse with no cut. So they're doing it. I mean, they are adding playing opportunities for these guys. But do any of us really care, I guess? As fans, do you care about what's happening on the PGA Tour this week? The plus side, and I think most of you would say no. I mean, you look at the website numbers, they're still good. I mean, if I look at our analytics, there's still plenty of people coming to our website. There really hasn't even been all that much of a drop-off, to be honest with you, which I can't explain. I don't fully understand yet. But I don't think that people are nearly as interested in golf day-to-day. They're more interested in, when's Rory playing again this week? When's Jordan playing again? Australian Open. When's Tiger playing again? Maybe never. And then after that, it kind of dissipates out into wag galleries and other rumors and things like that. It has very little to do with the golf tournaments themselves. And I think that tells you something about the interest level of the sport right now. So why are we doing this? Why do we have these events? And we talked about it just a second ago. That's the job of the PGA Tour, to create playing opportunities. And I'm fine with that, but we're not for a terrible NFL slate. I mean, the NFL has been terrible this year. Thursday night football is an abomination. I don't understand why they play football on Thursdays or why they insist on putting terrible matchups on Thursdays. I mean, for crying out loud, the Jacksonville Jaguars, soon the London Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans are playing tonight on national television in the only game. And they're going to play in puke yellow and puke blue uniforms on NFL Network. That, whoever thought that was a good idea needs to be locked up, because they should never be allowed to have those kinds of ideas with that kind of budget ever again. That's a terrible idea. Meanwhile, in prime time tonight, while that game is on, we don't have the World Series to deal with because we have the first two games. I'm rooting for the Cubbies, openly rooting for the Cubbies. I am an Orioles fan. I want to see the Longer curse broken. Let's go Cubs. So we got a travel day for that. They go to Chicago for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Series could be wrapped up by Sunday. You never know. But and then you've got the second round of the HSBC Champions tonight in prime time, well, close to prime time. I mean, the West Coast, it's great. You're tuning in, it's like 7 o'clock. If you're watching in the United States, or excuse me, on the Eastern time zone of the United States, it's like 11 o'clock. You're like, I can't remember if they start at 10 or 11 tonight. And in one sense, it's great. It's prime time golf. It's an opportunity for people kind of late in the day, again, on the East Coast, kind of early evening on the West Coast, to enjoy some golf, high-quality golf. Guys are going to make birdies and eagles. All that's lovely. But do you care? How many people are going to tune in? I think the ratings will reflect a meager interest. And I think that's a problem. It in one sense. Yes, these guys are getting paid. Yes, there are sponsors who are stepping up to plunk down millions of dollars per year to run these tournaments that no one is watching. No one is watching. And they're doing that because they get some kind of activation from it that has either something to do with the television audience for a bigger tournament, has something to do with their business interests around the world. It's an opportunity to market to their customers or talk to their customers, whatever, at tournament site. There are reasons, but if no one's watching, what's the value that you're getting? If people are like, oh, that tournament's on, what's the value that you're getting? And I want the PGA Tour to kind of step back and reassess, what's the point of the wraparound season? And if it's just to keep six tournaments alive, it's not worth it. It's really not. I would rather them have 6 weeks during the main season of January to September, which really should be January to August, during that season where there are just two events. You got a better event and an opposite field event. I mean, we have those opposite field events for major championships and for a couple WGCs, but what if you had them for the Memorial and you had them for the Arnold Palmer Invitational and you made those fields a little bit smaller and then you had an opposite field event that kind of competed with it and would give playing opportunities but not quite as much money. It would shorten the schedule and you would have a more clearly defined season, which is still the longest in sports other than NASCAR racing. Still the longest in North American sports, but at least it's only 8 months instead of 11 and a half or 12, or excuse me, 10 and a half. So I think that's my conundrum here is we put in these tournaments because we can, and by we, I mean the PGA Tour, but the attention just isn't there. And so I guess I get the sense that some kind of change needs to be made to this series. And we still call it the Fall Series. It's just now the Fall Series is a part of the new season, not the Fall Series that didn't count for really any season. Or it didn't count toward the FedEx Cup, and it counted toward the money list. But now that's obviously been different for 3 years now. And I want to see gimmick tournaments. That's what I want. I want gimmick tournaments. I want gimmicks this time of year. We can have the WGC. It can stand on its own. It is a $9 million tournament. It can be its own thing. That's fine. They have one really good tournament during that six event stretch, 72-hole no-cut match play, or stroke play. Let's go. That's fine. The Asian events, they are a good mix of Asian Tour players and PGA Tour players. I'm even kind of okay with that. They're no-cut events. Again, it's not about the United States for those. But we've got several North American-based events that are just your standard issue 72-hole stroke play. And there's one this week in Mississippi. There's one in Georgia, there, which is run by Davis Love. One St. Simon's Island, the RSM at Sea Island Resort. You've got the one at Mayakoba in Mexico. And then you obviously have the Safeway Open to kind of click things off here. So you have six events, and that's kind of where we're at. And you're like, okay, well, why do we have these domestic or continental events? If no one's really paying attention, and the only reason anyone cared about the Safeway Open was because Tiger thought he was going to play for a hot second, maybe kind of lied about it because he wasn't really going to play. And other than that, like, all right, yeah, I mean, golf's on, I need to take a nap, or golf's on, it's better than watching talking heads yell at each other again about the election. Thank God that's almost over. If you are the lesser of evils of what's available for a sports fan or just a human being looking for a respite from all that is horrible to watch, that's not good. We need to do things differently. I would love to see a team tournament or a match play tournament when we only do that once a year, let's do that again. Why don't we have that six-hole match play format that they're trying on the European Tour? That's not a bad idea. They're trying that in Australia. I like that concept. Let's try that out. Why don't we have some kind of really bizarre tournament where we have guys playing with three clubs? Or you get like 10 clubs in the first round, 8 in the second, 6 in the third, and 4 in the fourth. Or I don't know. Let's come up with some weird things. Let's make golf weird this time of year and get people convinced, like, hey, this is frankly bizarre. I'm going to watch it because it's different. Still award FedEx Cup points. You can have reduced FedEx Cup points because you don't want to award the same points for a freak tournament as you do winning any other regular PGA Tour event with a better field and a cut and stuff like that. That would be totally fine by me. But if we insist on putting on professional golf tournaments this time of year when no one is interested in what's happening except the people playing and the people who might be there in person, you've got a problem. We need to do something different. I'm open to suggestions, and I kind of started the conversation a little bit on Twitter, at Ryan Ballingy, if you want to kind of go through my timeline and see some of the responses to that. But there needs to be something that's different. There were some other good suggestions. Playing with ballata balls, playing with regular shafted clubs, playing opposite-handed, that would probably not go very well. Playing without caddies, which I thought would be really interesting. Playing caddy, no caddies, and carry would be really interesting. Just something to change things up a little bit. Make it a little bit more compelling. It's kind of hard to find motivation this time of year when I sit at the keyboard to write about a golf tournament. I'm like, yeah, but nobody cares. I mean, I'll give you an example. I wrote a story this morning for Yahoo about a Washington Times, which is a conservative leaning, and by leaning, I mean like falling over on paper, talking about the $3.6 million expenditure billed from the White House to the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security over a 2013 trip President Obama took to Florida to play golf for 4 days, get lessons from Butch Harmon and Claude Harmon III, play with Tiger Woods, play a couple of the rounds, bring some buddies to play those rounds. All told, the cost was $3.6 million. I think that's a rather benign story. Because obviously using Air Force One costs money, the president's time costs money, Secret Service costs money, all those things. And I sent it to Yahoo and said, hey, you know, do what you want with it. That thing got 250,000 views in 7 hours. And part of that is the power of Yahoo. And part of that is because people care about that more than the HSBC champions. More people are going to read that story today than will watch the HSBC champions tonight. I can assure you. And that's not good. That means the interest in golf isn't there. The interest is in political things. I understand that that's easier to kind of drum up and stuff, and that's kind of part of the reason why they promote in the first place. But if I wrote something about Tiger Woods not playing for next year, so like when Jason Day said, don't expect to see him until 2017, that got, with the Yahoo spigot turned on, half the number of views. So even people aren't as interested in Tiger Woods by himself without President Obama just playing a round of golf with him. You know, you can kind of see the scale there. And then it kind of comes all the way down, as we were talking about earlier. So I would love to hear suggestions on how, if we are convinced that we need to play golf tournaments to give these guys opportunities to make money, and I'm fine with that, in the months of October, November, and sometimes December, depending on your tour, then for God's sake, please make it interesting and different. And I would love to hear your suggestions on that. Since there isn't really a whole lot going on in the golf world in the last couple of weeks, obviously we haven't had like this rush to come to do the podcast, and part of that is also having a six-month-old daughter and a 4-year-old son that really tire you the hell out. But and I love them to death, but I sleep very well these days. So the one thing I wanted to bring up, and I find this a fascinating development, is that we're starting to see the players who were on Nike Golf's staff make decisions about the clubs they will play in the future. Obviously, the one that kind of stood out to everybody this week was when No Laying Up reported, because the guy behind it, Chris Solomon, who I met at the Ryder Cup, is a great guy, really enjoyed his company, and hopefully You can say the same for me. He's formed a bit of a relationship with Rory, and which is cool. That's awesome. That's good for journalism, or for his journalism, for sure. And Rory sent him some kind of picture of his launch monitor numbers using the TaylorMade M2 and said, hey, he's going to put it into play. And then we seized on that and trusting Chris's reporting, and obviously that he's not lying because he isn't, and reported the story. And a lot of people were interested in that, to know that Rory was going to play a TaylorMade M2 driver and fairway woods at least this week in China and probably moving forward. Meanwhile, you've got Michelle Wee, who took the lead in China, or excuse me, Malaysia, on the same course where the CIMB Classic was last week, now TPC Kuala Lumpur. The Sime Darby LPGA Malaysia is played there the next week this year. That's how it worked out. She took the lead, or which she shoot 66, her best round of the year by far, and she did it with a Ping driver. She's no longer playing that Nike driver because she's she's freed from that contract to play Nike equipment. Now, you got mixed bags for a lot of people. Tony Finau's working on going back to some Callaway stuff. You've got Brooks Koepka, who is a Nike guy. He's gone toward the M2 as well. We don't know where he's at with irons. We haven't seen that substantial of a change. Obviously, McIlroy went right into a Scotty Cameron putter right after they announced after the PGA Championship, and he knew beforehand that Nike was getting out of hard goods. So, you know, you're starting to see it. And I thought this was a really interesting question posed by My Golf Spy the other day. And it kind of encapsulated what I was thinking is, this is a world now for these like 25 people who were sponsored by Nike. This is a world now what would look like if there were no such thing as equipment contracts. What equipment would each player play if they had to go through the process of finding the club for them and putting in the bag and creating a makeup of a bag that fits their game, that can cross manufacturing lines, can cross all kinds of different lines that they otherwise couldn't cross because of their sponsorship obligations. And we're going to really get a window into that. Not really these last couple of weeks. We only have 3 more weeks of PGA Tour golf left, and there isn't much more time left on the LPGA schedule or the European Tour schedule for that matter. So in January, we're going to get a good idea of the changes these guys have been making, whatever brief offseason they have, and where they're going to move to next. And we're also going to get a good idea of how these guys and gals fit into new equipment deals, because they're still going to wear Nike apparel. That's still part of their contract. That hasn't been voided or changed, but they're free to play new equipment. So how's that all going to work? Are you going to have a Nike guy sign a TaylorMade deal and wear Nike head to toe and put TaylorMade on the bag? Or will they wear a TaylorMade hat and Nike stuff? Will they have TaylorMade on the sleeve? How's that all going to look? If you're playing other companies, you kind of have the same question. I'm really interested to see how all that works. Obviously, the compensation component, we're not going to really know, especially for kind of those so-called down-ballot players, the players who are billed less on the Nike staff. We probably won't know, for instance, what Lucas Bjerregaard is going to get for not playing Nike equipment anymore and going toward another manufacturer. We probably will never figure that out. But we might get a good idea of what Rory will get, and if this is any indication, of signing with TaylorMade. And that opens itself to another discussion we'll talk about in a minute to kind of wrap up the show. But this is a pretty cool time. I mean, if there is nothing else to take away from this next kind of month of golf that I, again, am not really interested in from a competitive standpoint, because it doesn't really feed any momentum into 2017 whatsoever. It's just kind of money to collect now. But if there's any interest right now in the next 4 weeks of golf, it's what are these Nike staffers going to do to their equipment? What are they going to do to change? What are they going to do to play in 2017? And are we going to get a sense of that? A more complete picture, not just kind of teases like we're getting one or two clubs at a time, but a very good sense of that before the end of the year? Or do we just all get surprised in January when a lot of PGA Tour winners show up, a number of them were Nike players, and they show up in Hawaii for Kapalua or in Honolulu for the Sony Open, And we'll go, whoa, so that's what Paul Casey's playing now. That's what Rory is playing now for his irons. That's what, you know, go down the line. I think that'll be fun. And I think it'll be really interesting to see. Now, that all, obviously the Rory piece of this ties into a fascinating discussion, a fascinating tie-in to the rumor that's out there that Tiger Woods is going to be part of a group that purchases TaylorMade from Adidas. And I have a couple of different sources on the story. They've been pretty quiet the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. There really hasn't been a ton of movement. Around Labor Day, there seemed to be an insinuation that a deal was closed and there were some finalists. And then a report came from Rick Young at Score Golf that, hey, maybe from what he had been told, Tiger was part of a group that is putting in a bid. Who knows if they won or if they're winning or if they're in discussions or where that's at. But that was the rumor. And people were like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And obviously, it would be pretty cool. I mean, Jack Nicklaus owned his own equipment line, didn't really have a lot of success. So did Arnold Palmer. Both those guys kind of owned failing equipment companies. But they did it, and they made their own lines of equipment, and they tried to sell them to the public. And now you've got Tiger Woods, who has also fueled the fire by creating a new logo with a TGR logo, which, by the way, it's Tiger stripes that look like a W. I don't know how that's confusing. I don't know if you don't like it. It's Tiger stripes that look like a W. You're perfectly entitled to not like it, but it does look like something. And so he's changed his logo. He's no longer using that TW logo from Nike that he had used for so many years in conjunction with his apparel and stuff like that. So there's kind of an insinuation there. Okay, well, maybe he's moving on from that line with Nike. He's starting his businesses, so maybe he's moving on with a new logo to say, hey, I'm going to buy TaylorMade. And again, this is all conjecture. Again, I don't have someone who's telling me as a source this has happened or will happen really soon. And as soon as that does happen and I hear about it, I will let you know. But this is pure conjecture. So you kind of start putting the puzzle pieces together. Okay, well, there's the rumor. TaylorMade's for sale. The rumor Woods is interested. All right, he's changed his logo, announced his future, which could include equipment, but it's going to be kind of a brand to set up his companies. You've got Rory going to play TaylorMade M2 equipment. Before that, you've got Jason Day reportedly signing with Nike for apparel. You've got Dustin Johnson sticking with TaylorMade, but he's going to be Adidas for apparel. You've got Tiger Woods, who's going to be Nike for apparel because he's probably got a lifetime contract, but he's free to play whatever clubs he wants. TaylorMade makes some sense, especially if he's going to buy clubs. He's going to buy the company. He would play that, and then all of a sudden, you've got really three of the top four players in the world playing TaylorMade equipment. Jordan Spieth is going to keep doing his thing with Titleist and with Under Armour. That's not changing anytime soon. And all of a sudden, you've got this four horsemen group of DJ and Rory and Jason Day and Tiger Woods hawking TaylorMade equipment. And you've got others already in that stable. I mean, you've got Justin Rose as part of that group. Him and Tiger get along pretty well. And all of a sudden, that's really formidable. And if Tiger does buy in some kind of equity stake into whoever purchases TaylorMade, he could be the public face, and all of a sudden, to really bust open the market a little bit, makes it a lot more interesting. I mean, there's a lot changing in golf equipment right now, and the changes are happening in kind of pockets right now. So TaylorMade's going to get sold to somebody. You know, we've got Titleist going with an IPO to basically clear itself out of a huge leveraged piece of debt that Fila gave them, so that in exchange for more of the company, they're getting out of that debt structure. They're going to go public. I'm probably short the heck out of it, by the way. And then you've got Callaway, which is trying to make a play, maybe recognizing that leveraging and some potential weakness if the IPO goes poorly, and their increased sales. I mean, they've got more share than ever. They're going to go after Titleist on the ball side and a little bit on the wedge and putter side, and they're going to see if they can take down Cameron and Vokey a little bit with Toulon and Roger Cleveland. That's going to be fascinating. And then you probably got Tiger sitting there going, these guys made some amazing drivers. They had an incredible market share. They kind of made some mistakes in the volume of clubs that they produced and the claims that they made against them. This is a good brand. If I put my name behind it and get these guys behind it, we can turn them around. And now all of a sudden, from having this kind of muddied space, we have a pretty awesome equipment war going on right now in the business. If that all takes shape, and that all could very easily start to take shape in the next couple of weeks before the year's end. Because obviously the IPO is happening, a purchase of TaylorMade could happen literally any day, and Callaway is continuing to do its thing, humming along very nicely. So I think we're in for a fascinating stretch of weeks and maybe months in the equipment space. Even if you don't care about equipment, you're not a gearhead, the business of golf is going to pick up, and it's going to be really interesting. So for what I said, for not caring about pro golf or what happens in tournament golf, there are a lot of things kind of happening just beneath the surface that I am extremely fascinated in and can't wait to find out more about as the weeks and months roll by. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Next week, we will try to talk about what happened in China. We'll get a sense of what happened in Mississippi, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the European Tour's final series. We may or may not have a Turkish Airlines Open next week. They're still meeting to determine whether they're going to do that or not. There is a report out there from Doc over at Golf Central Daily in Ireland saying that Rory has backed out of the tournament, although that's not been made public yet, and that there's a consideration of canceling the Turkish Airlines Open, which would then reduce the final series to two events, which would be really bizarre since they went from 4-3 this year. They would go them from 3-2 by political and geopolitical circumstances. So very interested to see that. But that's all in the potential future, and we'll talk about that next week. So if you listen to us through iTunes, please give us a 5-star review and let everyone know that you love our show, and that'll help us reach more people. And then also, you can leave us a comment or a question. We'll talk about that on the air with you if you're so willing to do so. And if you want to listen to our show first before anybody else, you can download the GNN apps in the Apple and Google Play stores. So until next week, I'm Ryan Balaji saying thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.